Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. Today is October 29th, 2020, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times. Now, this is a show where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, the signs of the things that are taking place at this moment, but we're also wanting to look at how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre, and I'm here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to invite you to study with us this morning. If you're listening live, make sure to have your Bible, a pen and paper ready for today's word. But before we get started, as we usually do, I'd like to ask Rabbi to open us up for a word of prayer, if you don't mind, Rabbi.
Yes, sir. Father, here we are again, and we are excited to know what you're desiring for this particular day, as well as this season. We thank you and glorify you right now for all that you are doing and how you're allowing us to take part in your divine work. Father, I thank you that you allow us to not only begin to understand how you do things, but you impart through us the very design that you desire to make manifest here on the earth. Father, we thank you for forgiving us of sin, iniquity, and transgression. We thank you also for giving us the strength, the power to forgive ourselves and to forgive others. We thank you, Father God, for the blessings that you appropriate through us by way of our lineage on both sides because of that self-same forgiveness. We thank you and glorify you for the gratitude that you place within us. We thank you, Father God, that you are awesome and that each day you just exhibit just an inkling of how great you are and how great you desire to be in and through us. So, Father, we just give you the praise, give you the honor. We lift our hands and allow you to orchestrate this day, to orchestrate this broadcast, and to give us exactly what you know we need in this coming season. We give you the praise, we give you the honor and glory. In your son's name, Yahushua, amen and amen. Well, I will pass it back to you, Pastor Andre, and I am just really excited with what the Father is wanting to reveal and to impart to today.
Amen. Before we go ahead and get into the recap, we're going to go ahead and have Pastor Doug do our before Torah study blessing to get us started this morning. Pastor Doug?
Baruch atah Yehua, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, yitzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments, and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen, amen. So for those of you listening this morning, you'll be reminded that we're studying the fruit of the Spirit as it pertains to preparing ourselves and our hearts for these latter days. And last week we discussed kindness. We spent some time discussing kindness. And as you may have noticed over the course of the past several sessions, we've been connecting them with a key biblical figure that you can go back and reflect and look at in your own personal study. But last week we discussed and studied Daniel. One of the things we noted about Daniel is that he exhibited a large amount of spiritual fruit. And we could see that regardless of his external influences and his external circumstances, he had a resolve to only answer in kindness. Now, it wasn't just kindness that he exhibited, but we noted that the kindness was part of the glue, part of his demeanor, part of his character that allowed him to operate in the manner that he did and receive the favor from the administration, the kings that he was involved with. We see that kindness, as a definition, is basically the quality of being considerate. We had if you wanted to define them and distinguish them a little bit more between kindness and gentleness. Kindness is more an external act, where gentleness, which is something we'll talk about later, is an internal characteristic. We looked at a key verse last week, Proverbs 15, verses 1 through 2, and we noted that kindness is protection from judgment and wrath. We also looked at the fruit of the Spirit. We're looking at that aspect of it being like a shield, but that's with faith. We want to come back here and look at how the fruit of the Spirit as a whole operate as armor. The fruit of the Spirit protects us. The only fruit that doubles as a gift and as a fruit is that faith we're talking about, and faith is a shield. So we begin to see this protective aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. So then we're also looking at how kindness is a protection as well. One of the notes I have from last week is we have to get to a place where walking in the fruit is not just a diet or something that we do from time to time, but it has to become a lifestyle. And it still has to become a lifestyle so that we are continually walking in not only the protection, but also, as we were talking about with Daniel, the favor that is provided. We read in a good example, a case study here with Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, looking at how David's counterparts, how his co-wise men, if you will, the Magi, how they interacted differently than Daniel did. In verses 1 through 11 of Daniel chapter 2, we saw how the Magi, when given the edict from the king's dream, when they were asked to give the interpretation, we saw how they quickly unraveled into frustration and disrespect, even in front of the king, because of his request. The king was irate. He wanted to kill all the wise men. But then when Daniel was approached, and we looked at verses 12 through 23, when he was approached by the captain of the guard, that is Daniel, he approached the king with humility, with kindness. And he even approached the Father God with the same humility and kindness, entreating him to give him the answer. And he had a humble, sincere, submissive heart. And we see that playing in with the kindness as well. But he also had another ingredient that we could see as a byproduct of kindness, and that's thanksgiving. Kindness has an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. I want to say that again. Kindness has an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. And we see that because of how Daniel continued to build his relationship with the fathers, continued to recognize who he was and who his father was. And when I say that, I mean he had that sincere humility to say, you know what, I am a servant of the Most High, and I will treat him and I will approach him with a humble and a kind, thankful gratitude. And I believe that moved Yah, and Yah was on his beckoning call at the moment of his prayers, as we saw even, as we can see. So we didn't go over this last week, but we go back and look through Daniel. We see that Daniel's prayers were immediately, the answers were immediately sent, even if they were hindered in the spiritual realm by the demonic principalities. But God was greatly favored, as the angel says, Daniel, who is greatly beloved or greatly favored. We know that Daniel enjoyed interacting with God and receiving from Yah. And he was able to partake in the kindness of God as it kind of continued to build off of the kindness, the fruit of his character, the fruit of the Spirit in his character. And so, Rabbi, that was a lot that we extracted from kindness. I'm looking forward to this week as I pass the baton to you. But I'm just seeing how all of the fruits really accentuate and build off each other to make a beautiful composition, if you will. Rabbi.
Amen, amen. And the way in which we approach this is from the perspective of these perilous times. We're not approaching it from a standpoint of just something that is good to do or that is holy and pure and is expected of us, although it is. It is expected of us. It is holy, it is pure. But we're looking at it from the scope of these perilous times. What should you and I do during these times of turmoil that is quickly and fastly approaching and affecting our manner in which we conduct our lives, and not just our business, but our very lives from day to day. So as we go into talking about goodness, one of the things that I want to make sure that we never lose sight of is the fact, viewing this from a standpoint of our protection and what we need to do going forward as the times change to more catastrophic and diabolic, if you will, aspects that are happening all around us. We need to saturate. We need to begin to saturate ourselves in the elements or the ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So with that, let's, Pastor Andre, let's start to go into looking at goodness. But I want to look at it from two aspects. I want to look at it from the Greek, and I also want to look at it from the Hebrew, obviously. And we'll start off with the Hebrew first. I just feel like it's important that we do that. And one of the passages of scriptures that, as I was studying and just kind of allowing the rock just to have his way, to just guide me through this, is David, King David. We're going to, you know, change biblical characters, and we're going to go to a very familiar passage of scripture in Psalms 23 and verse 6. Psalms 23 and verse 6. And Pastor Andre, if you can read that both in the King James and in the Amplified, and then we'll begin to dissect.
Sure. So Psalms 23, verse 6, starting with the King James. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then going to the Amplified. I believe I have it on this here. If not, I'll have to get this on a different one. This is Amplified. We're looking for Psalms 23, verse 6 in the Amplified here. And here I have it here. Surely goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell forever throughout all my days in the house and in the presence of the Lord.
Amen and amen. Now, one of the things, Pastor Andre, that I want to make sure we get out very quickly is that almost every version that I was looking at and that the Father had me view, it starts off with the statement, surely. It starts off with that English word. Now, most of us, Pastor Andre, are aware, and prayerfully, this won't be a first time for most of you that are listening, but most of you are aware that one of the infatuations that I have personally with the Hebrew is not the language itself. It's not so that I can converse with someone in Hebrew, but it's because the holy language and the manner in which the Father interacts with us began with that particular language. And, as important, that particular language has within it certain ingredients that no other language has. It has, within the letters of the word, definitions that break it down in such a way to where the understanding or the instructions of God are neatly laced within the letters and its meaning, so that when he speaks a word in Paleo Hebrew, then the instructions for you and I on what you and I should be doing pertaining to that word is already within the letters and the meanings of that word. Now, that's phenomenal, because there leaves us with very little excuse as to his meaning or how to apply it, unless we have changed the version, and then by doing so, we've masked over the actual application of that particular word. Now, the reason why I'm going through this deliberation, Pastor Andre, is because the word for surely, or that is used there for surely, okay, more accurately in the English, should have been the word only. Now, I'd like for you to humor me and give me the definition of surely in your understanding, as opposed to and in contrast to the word only, and how that would begin to alter or change the direction of the particular passage that you just read.
Well, it does change it. And my first thought with surely, what comes to my mind is certainly, for certain. It is a fact. And when you say it's a fact that goodness and mercy shall follow me, that's fine. But when we add only there, it's like saying, yes, it will happen, but only this. Nothing else will follow me all the days of my life. Surely is saying, yes, it will, but only says only. But this is the only thing. Nothing else should follow me all the days of my life. And they are two different things.
I totally concur with you. As a matter of fact, when I and you are going through perilous times, the only thing that you want to follow you is goodness and mercy. Okay? Now, there's another word, because one of the things, and I know you know this, that in Hebrew, there normally is, as far as defining the word and the understanding and finding a comparable definition in English, it normally takes 3 to 5 English words to properly define a word in the Hebrew in order for you to not only get the meaning but also know what you're supposed to do. Now, with that being said, another English word that's more appropriate in this particular passage is howbeit. Is the word howbeit. Okay? Now, when you look at that, one of the things that the Holy Spirit just prompted me when I was studying that is that the Father within the Word is letting you and I know how it be. In other words, how to only have goodness and mercy follow you. Now, that's extremely important, but more so during perilous times.
Mm-hmm.
So that first word that was translated, surely, okay, in the Hebrew, that the actual Hebrew lettering for that particular word, okay, is olive, and it's a final cough, okay? Olive and a final cough, all right? Now, what's interesting about that is that we just said, Pastor Andre, and if you could give us some meanings of those letters, but we had just said that the meaning of the letters in the word give us an accurate, not just description, but understanding. Because the scriptures say, with all of your getting, get a understanding. Within the Hebrew, it already has that ability to give you that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And how much more do I need that understanding when perilous times are here? I need to understand so that I can appropriate in my life for me and my family And so that all of the noise and pestilence of the things all around me doesn't affect us. So we're going to go back and look at Aleph and Kaf. Okay? And we'll also look at the pronunciation of that word, if you would, and then begin to break that down so that we can begin to get that understanding of how to apply that word. Pastor Roger.
All right. So we have the two letters that were mentioned, Aleph and Kaf, and together you'd have something to the effect of Ach or Ich. But what you have here, the Aleph, means first, leader, strong, or strength, and it's the picture of an ox head. So those are kind of the extrapolated meanings. When you see ox or the ox head, the leader is the strong, is the first, and you can imagine oxes being yoked together to do work. It's the one that's pushing forward and going forward. The kaf is an open palm. And it has also with it the understanding of to allow, to bend, or to tame. And so those singularly have their meanings, but then when you begin to kind of mix them together, the ingredients for the cake, if you will, we can get a deeper understanding. But it's like a strong leading or strong allowing that's a preeminent allowance, if you will. It's kind of the sum of things I'm getting. But I'd love to hear what you have to say, Rabbi, as well.
Amen. I mean, that is excellent. One of the things that I know you know this as well, because there's so much depth, there's so much information. But the kaf has been recognized as the disciple letter. And the reason why it's the disciple letter is because it depicts an individual that has information that they're holding on to in the palm of their hand, but they are opening their hand to allow, to be showing the trust and showing that they trust the Father so much that they open their palm and allow the Father to take out whatever needs to be taken out, but also to put in or to place in whatever needs to be placed in. Now, when you couple that with some of the other understandings, meanings of olive, first the fact that the olive normally doesn't make a sound, and the fact that the olive in the way it's constructed, it has within it the completeness of Yah, the unitary understanding of Yah, of the Father, of the Word, and of the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. All of those are within that construct of the way you construct Aleph. So getting a complete understanding, not just the mind of God, okay, which is first. We've got to have the mind of the Father, okay, so that we know and understand. That knowing and understanding, of course, is knowing and understanding what is required of me pertaining to whatever it is we're discussing or that the Father is discussing. Then, of course, the Ruach is the very hands and the embodiment of God doing the things that he desires to do on the earth and through you and me. So that Aleph, although it's silent from a standpoint of not making a sound, has a tremendous amount of not just insight, but direction for you and understanding for you and me. So as I, Aleph, and as I get the mind of God on a subject, as I then begin to meditate on the word of the instructions of what he's desiring and what that means, the understanding of what it means, then the doing of the word comes from the Holy Spirit, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, not just me doing something, you know, haphazardly just because, you know, I heard the word, so I do it. No, the Holy Spirit gives me the timing of what needs to be done or not done, okay? then as I'm doing that, then that's where the final cough or the cough sophie comes in to play. In other words, where I begin to submit myself to the will of the Father, and not just any will, because we know in Romans 12, you know, he has a good will, he has a well-pleasing will, but then he has a perfect will. And his desire for me is for me to walk in his perfection. And it's something that I can attain if I submit myself, if I cough, and in this case, the final cough. Because as I do that, as I begin to submit myself, now we can talk about the goodness, as well as the mercy, but we're focusing on goodness right now. Okay? So when you go back and look at the Hebrew for goodness, because I have fulfilled not just the surely, but the only, but or the how be it. He's given me how to be it, so I begin to be what he has howed me to do and be. And as I do that, then only goodness comes to me. Okay? It's like the Father allows us to prosper, and the scriptures say, you know, of course, as we're doing it his way, he adds no sorrow to it. Why? Because, going back to this scripture, he only allows goodness and mercy to follow me, or to tackle me, actually, is a better understanding and rendition of that particular passage. Is it tackles you, it gets violent with you in a good way, in a godly way. Okay? The blessings come after you. Okay? But the goodness, we're going to look at that word goodness now. Now, with goodness, it's interesting. And it's interesting because of the depiction, all right, of what that particular word means and the lettering of that particular word. Now, it has three letters, and one is tet, is the first letter. And then a vav, but it's not just any vav. It's a colon vav that makes that long O sound. And then after that, you have the bet. Okay? So, Pastor Andre, can you give us an understanding of the meanings of that? And let's, I don't want to lose anyone here. This is Hebrew class, but it's Hebrew class for the purpose of understanding how I am supposed to walk through unscathed with all the blessings of God appropriating to me and my family during these perilous times. Pastor Andre.
All right. So we have, as Rabbi mentioned, three letters. We have tet, and we have a colon vav, and then a bet. Now, the tet is a picture of a basket or a container. It's meant to contain something or surround something. And so that's one. Now, the vav is something that secures and anchors. It is like a tent peg, and it is helping to secure the foundations of the home, if you will, if you look back in the ancient times with the tent. And then, speaking of home, we have the bet, which is a picture of a tent or a house. And together, there's the more concrete aspect of it surrounding a house, the tet being surrounding and the vav anchoring to the house. This is something that we want to have surrounding and anchoring the house. But also, you can look at it on a different concrete level of it being something that's contained, that we need to have contained and secured inside of the house. And when you begin to understand that tov connects with good, it goes right back to this verse, Rabbi. It's like, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. This is something that should be in my house. It's meant to be surrounding and contained within my house. There's several other things we could pull out here with the tent. It's like it also is supposed to be a vessel and containing like the Spirit of God. And we can look at that as being part of the goodness. That's how goodness even dwells within our house and our homes and our presence. With his presence.
So those are the first things that come to my mind, Rabbi.
Amen. And it's interesting that you said that, because that goodness is an attribute or a character that the Father gives us so that we can exhibit. It's not a character that we innately have ourselves. It's one that has to permeate through us by Him being that which infills within us. Now, the other thing that's interesting about this, and we're just still talking about the Hebrew. We haven't even got to the Greek yet. But in the Hebrew, I mean, it is fascinating because the word tov also denotes the word beautiful in the Hebrew.
Mm.
Now, the interesting aspect of that is the fact tov denotes the goodness based upon the way it interacts with the five senses.
Mm-hmm.
Tov, and I'll say that again, interacts with your five senses. Do you remember when Eve was analyzing the forbidden fruit that the serpent was trying to get her to eat? As she was analyzing, she was going through trying to discern tov pertaining to that particular fruit before she indulged. Now, of course, we know it was wrong, and it was not, it was the trickery of the enemy in that particular case. But the process is what I want to make sure that everybody sees, because this process is a process that God has given to us, that when used properly, when used by way of the Spirit of God and not by the conniving trickery of the enemy, this process will birth goodness. It will be pleasant to the eyes. It will be pleasant to the touch and the smell. Okay, these senses will help to begin to codify that this is not just that this is God, but this is the manner in which He desires for you and I to interact. It's important to understand the quality of goodness. Now, the quality of goodness is going to reverberate back to Torah. It's going to be back to the words that He's spoken. Not just the written words, yes, the written words, but also the spoken words that He speaks to your and my heart every day. As the Holy Spirit is doing that. I mean, we don't need to go here now because we've done it before, but Acts chapter 8 and around verse 26, on down, is where Philip goes through this calibration, if you will, spiritual calibration by way of Yeshua and by way of the Holy Spirit. All right, the Ruach begins to speak to him and just tweak his course so that he can land where he's supposed to be, so that he can apply the goodness that God has within him to the eunuch at the proper time. That's an excellent example of what we're still talking about pertaining to goodness. So as your day and as my day is beginning, it is imperative that we get a good glimpse, a good understanding of what this is saying to you and I, what it means to me, what it means to you. It has got to be favorable in a God sense. So when the Father begins to share things with you, which He does all the time, now we don't always recognize them, unfortunately, but He does it all the time. In the same way that He did with Philip, He tries to get your attention. He tries to get you to understand what that particular day is going to unfold. We seldom have a good idea and almost never have an excellent idea of what the full day has in store for you and for me. But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit knows. And as we begin to petition the Father, and of course, before we do that, we've got to deal with the old man. That old person has to die first, because there's only room for one. So as we are effective in taking the old man down and burying that old man, then appropriating whatever the Father is desiring for that particular day, the protection that we need, the guidance, the instruction. Because as we begin to do that, then the goodness that we're talking about here will begin to flourish. It will begin to manifest in your life, in my life. As I lean towards submitting my day to the Holy Spirit. And that's not something that's easy, because especially if you have a job and you have obligations and schedules and deadlines and things like that you've got to meet. You know, I'm not saying, you know, you just put your hands up and go willy-nilly and just, you know, whatever, you know, que sera, sera, and start singing that song. No, that's not where I'm at. But what I'm saying is, within the construct of all of those schedules, you've got to trust that the Father is going to begin to guide you through those so that they can manifest with the kindness that we've already talked about. What Pastor Andre was talking about as far as the resolve that Daniel had. And understand this, because when Pastor Andre was doing the recap, one of the thoughts that came to me that I want to dispel right now, because I knew it wasn't a godly thought, but one of the thoughts that came to me was, isn't that a sign of weakness? If a person is trying to deal with an altercation, but they want to be kind about it, isn't that a sign of weakness? And the answer is no. Daniel showed a sign of tremendous strength by allowing himself and others to know that there is nothing, kind of like what Paul said in Romans 8, you know, 35 all the way to the end, you know, there's nothing that will move me into getting out of sorts with you or with the situation. There's nothing that's going to cause me to go through a traumatic depression pertaining to whatever happened, because I've made up in my mind, and this is kind of like what I'm sensing with Daniel, I've made up in my mind to not only spend quality time with Yah, but to allow only what He desires to proceed out of my mouth, out of my senses, so that I can trust Him to be kind to you, even though you don't deserve. I can trust Him to have a kind word for you, even though you don't deserve it. Because the more we begin to do that, the more it will confound the enemy to the point to where the individual will say, how can you act like that, Pastor Andre? How can you be that way? You know? Now, remember, it's not weakness, because the individual's coaxing or prodding is not going to change the answer, okay? It's just, it's also not going to sway Pastor Andre. It's not going to get him out of sorts. It's not going to allow him to go in a spiral of depression. It's not going to allow those things, because the God in whom he serves has fortified him. He's tempted him. He's fortified him. Not only has he fortified him, the manifestation of Vav has happened so much in his life that it's also affecting Bet. It's affecting his whole family. It's affecting his whole family. And he has that as a promise from God himself. So it doesn't matter what you two are trying to do, okay? Because he is applying who? Pastor Andre. He's applying no weapon formed against him and his family will prosper. Because he's walking and living in goodness. And then it goes and says, because he's walking in goodness, he has the inheritance of the servants or the children of Jacob. Now, oftentimes we quote that scripture in Isaiah, but we don't understand the power of that particular passage in the B part, because it says, because you and I have the inheritance, the heirs, we're heirs to Jacob. We have the God-given right and privilege to condemn the words that are spoken or designed diabolically against us. Now, how important is that pertaining to goodness in the aspect of these perilous times, Pastor Andre?
Wow, I'm processing what you just said. And you're referring to, in Isaiah, the being the inheritance or the heirs of Jacob, we have the ability to speak. Could you repeat that one more time?
We have the God-given right because we are heirs and then the children of Jacob. We have the God-given right, okay, to not only to know that no weapon formed against us can be formed against us, but that every tongue, this is the B part, every tongue that rises itself against us, we have the God-given right to condemn those words. And it's because of the goodness that we are portraying and walking in. See, because of that goodness, it's, you know, that surely, the word that they use there for surely.
Yes.
All right. It says only. So if only goodness and mercy can follow me all the days of my life, all right, it's not just because I speak those words. It's because, you know, Hebraically I'm looking at the letters of these words and I am manifesting that on a daily basis. As I manifest goodness on a daily basis, then goodness comes to me. All right? Goodness doesn't just come just because, you know, I accepted Yeshua. It doesn't just come, you know, because, you know, I follow a few things. No, no, you have to follow the prescribed method. Okay? The ingredients of that recipe has to be followed strictly to the letter in order for it to be that wonderful tasting product that you're desiring to make for yourself and for your family. Because this is not just a self-service situation. Because what you do or don't do will affect your family. Okay? Pastor Andre, go ahead.
Thank you, Rabbi. And what was clicking for me with what you said is that be part of that verse. And honestly, we quote the first without even seeing the second part. So I'm totally with you now as far as that. The inheritance that we have with him is that, no weapon is formed against us, but we also can cut down everything that comes against us. Now, I love what you're saying, too, here, because walking in this aspect of goodness, where our house is surrounded, it's like, in this sense, goodness is another one of those armaments that we're talking about, but it's like a shield, a force field, all around it, surrounding. But it surrounds you with the good things. When you think about how the Father, when he created the world, when he created it, each time he said, it's good. And what I'm getting out of that, it was perfect. It was whole. It was functional. It functioned the way it was supposed to. And when we have and allow Yah's goodness to follow us, we are functioning as we're supposed to. Our home is running like it's supposed to. The things that are for us, those blessings, they're chasing us. They're coming after us. Things are operating the way they're supposed to. But on the flip side, not on the flip side, and in addition to, going back to the verse Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 is what we were quoting,
We shall refute everything that will rise against us. That's when we're functioning as we ought to be. And that connects even with, seeking after the righteousness of God. Because righteousness is as we ought to be. This is our inheritance. This is our heritage when we are serving Yah. And His vindication, as it says here, is from the Lord. He is good to us. His goodness is for us. This is awesome. Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I mean, even though we're just still talking about the Hebrew aspect of the word goodness, I hope that you realize that it can be totally inexhaustible in the manner in which God wants to answer you, in which He wants to fulfill the promises. And it's imperative just for us to understand that if the scriptures more appropriately says that goodness and mercy tackle you, oftentimes, okay, we need to understand that we're not trying to follow goodness and mercy in order to be tackled. We're trying to follow Yah. And as that byproduct of following Him and being submitted to Him and doing what He's desiring, the goodness of Yah and His mercy for you for that day comes in and changes the outcome. And we need to understand how important that is in this day, in this perilous times day. That term, perilous times, should not be mentioned among the godly.
Wow.
There's no way that it can be mentioned among the godly. It cannot manifest itself because David heard correctly from the Ruach, from the Holy Spirit. And that word there is only goodness and mercy. Not the wrath of God, not even the judgment of God. Only for you this day. I mean, that's a testimony to take for each day, beginning with today. Only goodness can follow Pastor Andre today. Only the mercies of God, which are making itself available to him, that regardless of what happens and what tries to transpire in his life, mercy will not allow it to take him under. It will not allow him to be taken advantage of. It will not allow his family, to be abused or in any way fall short of God's intended goal and purpose for their life. When you begin to see it this way, even the stupor that the adversary tries to put you and I under, it must leave. When David was in the cave, when King David was in the cave, and his men were so distraught with him and with the outcome of their camp being ambushed and their whole family being taken, David was probably in one of his lowest lows at that point. Not because his men were wanting to kill him, but because he had failed himself and his men. He was probably in one of the most deepest depressions that you could think of as a leader. But then the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he began to speak the inheritance. Going back to Isaiah 54, verse 17, the B part. He began to speak what God says and what God sees in him. And not too much longer after that, not only did his continence increase and the blessings of who and what his identity was, but even his men began to change and their attitude began to change. And they rallied around him and they went back and found the enemy. And God had protected their children and their wives. so that no harm had come to them. And they retrieved them back plus. It's imperative that we understand and that we get a grasp of the goodness that He, the Father God, desires to not just give to us, but to give through us. We are not the end result of the goodness and mercy. Understand that. We're just a conduit in which He desires to use, and by being used, we're also being blessed. By facilitating, by being the facilitator, we're also being blessed. You're called to facilitate the goodness and the mercies of God. What an honor that is. And especially during perilous time. Because that's when it means the most. That's when the blessing really gives the maximum amount of dividends. Pastor Hunter, I was wondering if you could give us your closing statements and also give individuals opportunity to understand more about us and how to acquire more information pertaining to us.
Absolutely.
And I will not forget that we need to go and do the Greek, and we'll probably pick that up next week. Pastor Hunter.
Alrighty. Absolutely. One of the things that you just said that kind of hit me is as far as this is a time when we need it the most, to need to withdraw, need the dividends of these fruit the most in the perilous times. And that's something we'll probably touch on again, especially as I do the recap next week, but we need to continue to view these things as in the light of perilous times. In other words, this is something that we have to raise the bar with, especially in perilous times. It's going to be a little bit more challenging. So we have to make sure that our storehouse is full of good fruit. But I love this conversation and how it really reminds us that, one, we are nothing without Yah. As far as even this one, something you said today, Rabbi, that really jumped out to me, as far as goodness is an attribute of the Father that He allows to permeate through us. So it's not like Yeshua said, who is good? There's no one good but the Father. And so we ought to be reflecting His goodness. It's not of our own. And so that's something else that jumped out to me. But again, another thing that I would like to really reiterate for everyone is the protective quality and nature of these fruits and how they help us to maintain and they protect us as we pursue Yah's Holy Spirit, because these are byproduct of His Holy Spirit. And so those are the things that are resonating with me at this very moment. Well, again, we would like to thank you all for joining us today and partaking in this spiritual meal, if you will, of studying God's Word. And we're studying, again, for the purpose of knowing how we are to respond to the things that are happening. And so this is both a preparation, this is also a strengthening. And so we just want to, again, welcome and invite you and also thank you again. If this is your first time, one of the things we do encourage you is to go back and study these things as Bereans and to see if these things are true. And if they are true, if it bears witness in the Spirit, then what we want and encourage you to do is to begin to apply them to your lives. And this is something that each week we're having to go back and look and evaluate and say, all right, how do I apply this to my personal life, to the intimate part of my personal life? How do I make this, as we mentioned earlier, not just a teaching or a nugget of wisdom, but a lifestyle. And that is the ongoing charge, if you will, from week to week. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions about anything we've discussed, or if you'd like to learn more or receive our weekly newsletter, or if you'd simply like to leave us an encouraging word, we encourage you to do so. You can leave us an email at office@BethHashem.org, and that's spelled BethHashem.org. And you can also find out more about us on our website with the same name, www.BethHashem.org. We also have a Facebook page for you to connect on the social platform,
It's facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries, all one word, lowercase. And also, if you'd like to dig deeper in understanding, if you appreciated how we kind of dug into the Hebrew today, we teach that class and more at our Zakkai University of Learning, which is a Messianic apologetics course in biblical Jewish studies as well. And you can look more at courses.bethhashem.org. And again, that's the Zakkai University of Learning for a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots and the Hebraic roots of our faith. And finally, also, if you'd like to contribute and donate to this ministry, we have made an option available for individuals of our congregation to pay tithes and offering. But if you'd like to donate and contribute as well, you can go to www.cashapp.com/, and this is $ Beth Hashem, BethHashem. Or if you'd like to mail your donation, you can mail it to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And if you would put in the memo, These Be Perilous Times or TBPT, so we could reference those donations and how they are contributing. So again, for those of you who have donated, we thank you and we bless you. And also at this time, we'll close with Pastor Doug and our After Torah blessing. And then we'll have our benediction, the Aaronic benediction, and then I'll pass to Rabbi for our closing remarks and prayer. Pastor Doug?
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chaye olam natah bikoteinu. Baruch atah Yehuah noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad, y por tener vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga, Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen, amen. And now for our Aaronic benediction. This is coming from Numbers chapter 6, and it is a blessing that Yah has desired for us to have and to be upon us, to go before us, and in a way, connected to our study, for his goodness to be showered upon us as well. So if at home, if you receive this for yourself and for your family, after I'm done, you can give a hearty amen, and then we'll pass to Rabbi John.
Yair Yahua Panavenecha Vihunesa Isai Yahua Panavalecha Besemlecha Shalom.
May Yahua bless you and keep you. May Yahua, may Yahua's countenance be upon you. May he bless you and keep you. May Yahua's countenance be upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi John.
Father, we thank and praise you and glorify you for this moment, this time, this season. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for the same goodness that passed before Moses, the same goodness that you shared with him, and that was just your backside. As you hid him in the cliff, Father, hide us in the cliff as well, spiritually speaking. Protect us from these perilous times that are coming. Allow us not to shrink in fear and interpretation, but to be joyous and overwhelmed with your joy and your glory, knowing that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and that every tongue that rises up against the God in us, that we have been given the right, the privilege, and the mandate to condemn it. So we do that right very now in the name of Yeshua. Verify your word, your truth. We glorify you. Thank you for the mercy. We thank you for the goodness. We thank you for you. In Yahushua's name we pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.